Yes, we're continuing our series on joy in the midst of trials. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As they used to say back in the day, let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That was kind of weak, but that's all right. We'll work on that. as we're continuing this series, it bears repeating over and over and over, because this is such a concept that is so foreign to our flesh. That in order for our minds to be renewed, one of the things that must happen is that we must continue to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. Because mind renovation is certainly a process.
Yes, sir.
And if you think about those of us who are going to take advantage of this rich word that's happening on Sunday and Wednesday. Remember, the Lord picks it out. I don't choose the subjects and the timing of the subjects. This is a phenomenal accompaniment. One, it's like a symphony. They're both are playing, harmonizing so beautifully together. Because if you can grasp mentally through the mental renovation of our mental processes as powered by the Holy Spirit, and grasp joy, that the fact we can have joy and leap for joy, then that goes right along with then embracing hardship. So if you really grab a hold of this, you're going to be set free in an area where very few Christians are set free, have been set free. And it's not because the Lord God doesn't want to. It's just that we don't submit our, we don't surrender all. And I mean, when I say surrender all, I mean starting with our mind. That, Lord, you commanded us that this is a real thing. This is not something that is a suggestion. This is not something that, well, it's for an elite few. Don't let the devil tell you that lie. It wasn't just for Paul, who, as we'll talk about, willingly went to Jerusalem to be in front of a most violent, vicious emperor, Nero. It wasn't just for the teenagers. I'm trying to get their Christian names. I know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but Mishael, Azariah, and Abednego, and Mishael, Azariah, and Hananiah, I think are the three names. They're teenagers, and they were willing to go to the flames. It's not just for them. It is also for us. For the same spirit and the grace of God that empowered those individuals is available for us today.
Thank you, Lord.
But are we going to be willing to say, hey, you know what? This is for me too. This is a command for me. This is not a suggestion. Hey, hard times are going to come anyway. Why not have and embrace them for the glory of God? They're going to come anyway. If you say, well, I don't buy this. I'm not going for this. He teaching off the side of his neck. This is not really in the Bible. It's not going to make your hard time disappear. And all it's going to do is just increase the how horrible they are, because now you are the center of your world, called self-centeredness, a.k.a. selfishness. And when that's happening, guess what? Those trials are going to be very hard. And they're going to be very difficult, because you don't see through to the other side. You're not looking forward beyond the moment to the results and the reward. Amen. By way of review, Christian joy, again, is internal. We're going to keep reminding you of that. It is internal. It's not external. It is internal. Why keep reminding us of that? You're beginning every single teaching in this series with that same reminder. Why is that? Because of the external factors and circumstances and influences that are constantly bombarding you from the outside on. And if you don't remember with absolute confidence and unshakable faith that Christian joy is internal, that's been put inside of your spirit, that it is spiritual, you'll fool around and lose focus thinking that joy and happiness are one of the same if you aren't careful. That's why the Word of God says we need to put these things in remembrance, lest at any time we should let them slip. And he said that at a time before social media, cable TV, etc., etc. This is serious times, Word of Life, body of Christ at large. It's internal. Thank God it's internal.
Yes, Lord.
It is spiritual. It is not natural. We talked about it 2 weeks ago and mentioned it again last week. When you lose your joy, you gave it away. Amen. Because Jesus said, the world can't give it and the world can't take it away. Think about that now. If you believe that, and you should, then guess what? When you lose it, it's not the world's fault. It's not the devil's fault. It's not even the circumstances' fault, or whatever it is, no matter how severe the trial, how difficult the moment. It's not even that fault. It's your fault. It's my fault. It's our fault. I don't mean to sound harsh or obtuse, but at the same time, to me, that's liberating because it's up to me to maintain my joy that's been given to me as a gift and a legacy from the Lord Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed so that I could walk in that joy. I think it's a good reminder. Instead of looking around waiting for somebody to get your joy back or hoping somebody comes around to keep you from losing your joy. No. You, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's it. It's liberating for me. I hope it's liberating for you. It's a made up mind. This is a terrible situation. Yes, it is. I got the 2:30 in the morning call, or I got the report from the doctor, or I got this, I got that. But it's up to me to let it go. Because you said I can leap for joy, not for the trial or the pain, but seeing past that to the victory, to the rewards. And we're going to finally get there eventually. Reminder again, Christian joy is internal. We talked about Paul sometimes being discouraged by his circumstances, but he maintained his joy. No matter how great our sorrow, how unceasing our grief, it is possible to not lose our, here it is, deep-seated confidence that God is in control. And I'm telling you, the more you get a hold of that, the better you'll be in the midst of your most horrific pain. You know what? God is in control. Whether it be through direct way or an indirect way, Lord God, this comes from you. You're allowing this, and it's for your glory, and it's for my good, because all things work together for good. So this is for my good. Joy is generated by humility. Remember that statement? People lose their joy when they become self-centered. And in particular, thinking that you deserve better circumstances, thinking that you deserve better treatment than what you're getting right now, gets you in trouble. Because when you don't get it, you are bent out of shape. You're angry, you're upset. And the thing about it is, you being angry and upset, it's never just about with you. You're in a world of over 8 billion people. So you got to deal with a boss, a mother, a father, cousin, uncles, aunties, people on the freeway, whatever it is. So when you are in this funk, where you're thinking, I deserve better and I ought to have more, you're becoming self-centered. As you drift into that lane, believe me, everybody around you is going to feel it. You're going to feel the ire of your wrath or your disappointment. And further, you're not bringing God any glory. Not only are you not bringing God glory within yourself by your attitude of self-centeredness and selfishness, but as you spread that to others, then you're further not bringing them glory. You're in sin. I'm in sin. We're in sin because it says to let your light so shine before men. That's not a shining light. That they may see your good works. That's not a shining light. You want to lose your joy? You want to give it away? Become self-centered. Let the devil convince you, because it's not going to be the Holy Spirit, convince you that you deserve better. Better treatment, better circumstances. That is what robs you, me, us of our joy. When we open the door, spiritually speaking, to our homes and let the thieves in, self-centeredness, think you deserve better, think you deserve justice. You walk, let them walk on in the house and they come on in and they just say, oh, I'm going to take this. And no, not I'm going to take it. Hey, here you go. Here go my door over there in that closet over there. Go on and take it. Like, cool. Because if I can steal your joy, you're going to be just as miserable and angry and upset and whatever, just like the rest of the world. Great. You don't look any different than anybody else. And that's what Satan wants. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's why the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church at Rome, was Romans 12, be not conformed. You're looking just like the world. Stop doing that. The world knows nothing of joy. I'm going to say that again. I said the world knows nothing of joy because joy is spiritual and joy is internal. But we do. What a shame that we look just like the world. Folk ought to be telling you, do you ever have a bad day? They ought to just marvel at the joy that they see every day. Your coworkers, do you ever have a bad day? Man, I just see it just, they're going to say happiness. You just seem happy all the time. But as we said at the beginning of this series, joy, which should mark the life of the believer, which should mark the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, They're not a dominant characteristic at all. You know that. I know that. We know many so-called Christians. They're just as angry and upset. And I'm going to tell you something. If you think about it, if you were to interview every single Christian who, I'm talking about real legitimate Christian, who's truly born again, truly been raised from the dead spiritually. You interview them, you're going to run into this here thinking that you're going to run into self-centeredness, selfishness, and the root of that root is going to be thinking that they deserve better circumstances or treatment. I guarantee you every single time. Majority of the Christians, real Christians who don't walk in joy, that's going to be their problem. And I tell you what, a self-centered, selfish Christian thinking that they deserve better will never, ever, ever position themselves to embrace hardships, ever. Because they'll think, I don't deserve that. I deserve better. And they're not understanding the sovereignty of God, that God is allowing. The devil is not sovereign. So I don't care who brought it into your life. Ultimately, bottom line is, preach it, God allowed it. So I told you, be careful going and praying for, and you hear like, oh, so-and-so, the boss is just treating them terrible. You know, the boss is white and the worker is black. Oh, pray to God that he get them. That worker may be the most selfish, stubborn, prideful, and the Lord is doing a work by putting them under a harsh boss. We done put color into it for the call Rodney King's lawyers.
Reminisce. And the Lord is saying, no, that's exactly what I want to happen.
I'm guilty of it too. All we want to do is just pray for favorable circumstances. So we hear about somebody's in trouble, we pray for favorable circumstances. But I thank God because of this series, as a reminder, it's like, well, Lord, your will be done. First and foremost. And if it is your will that they, these harsh circumstances under which they are bearing up under, is to be removed, your will be done. If not, your will be done. And may they get out of this hardship what you would have them to get out of it.
And I'll tell you what we still don't understand, even though we mentioned it for years and off and on at this church, and we still don't get in, I too need to get it deeper, and that is that growth happens in hardship. Period. They just don't happen on sunny days. Sunny days are your vacation days off, give you a break. Vacation don't develop hardship. It's war. Does that make sense? I gotta be talking to your spirit, because your flesh is like, that. No, it's all no. I want sunny days. I want Cancun. I want the beach. I want to go to Rio de Janeiro, whatever. And that's what I want. But spiritual growth happens in war time, times of war. Closeness to God happens in times of war. When all hell is breaking loose on every side, if you are a real Christian, you're going to climb up in your dad's lap, your father's lap, and get close to him. Because I know I can't deal with this by myself. This is just way too much.
So I just think that, I know we're just the third straight week of the Lord just taking his time, which I'm thankful that he's doing. We must remember that joy is generated by humility. That is so crucial to remember. Humility. When you say generated, it is produced. Humility produces joy. It causes joy. It makes joy, if you will. Humility does. Which is the exact opposite of a self-centered, selfish person. We just want to land there and say la, pause, and calmly think about that. Humility generates joy. So there's a prayer right there. Lord, help us to be more humble. Help us to be more humble, that we may walk in your joy. In Jesus' name. And when you see reminders like people lose their joy when they become self-centered. Father God, remove every bit of self-centeredness up out of me. Remove every bit of selfishness up out of me. Excuse my up out, but up out of me. Get it up out of there. Because you'll never be happy being self-centered or selfish. Think about it. You won't even be happy, let alone walking in joy. Think about that, please. For a moment, just land there for a moment. If you are still being tempted to put yourself at the center of your world, self-centeredness, aka also known as selfishness, then you are being set up to be a bitter, angry, despondent, mean Christian. Still Christian, because you can't lose your salvation, right? Once you're raised from the dead, he don't kill your spirit and make you a sinner again. Once you're saved, but you're just mean and bitter. You mean to tell me that's bringing God glory, praise, and honor? That's letting the light shine? That's a light? It's not light. It's darkness. Meaning you're just blending in with the rest of the darkness. What a shame. What a shame. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. We're a city set on a hill, not even in the valley or even on the same plane with everybody else, but on a hill. Since you're on a hill, you cannot be hid. Yeah. Hidden. It's supposed to be that obvious. Make it a goal. Someone will tell you one time in your lifetime, do you ever have a bad day? Because you are always happy. That ought to be a goal. It ought to be that bright. Remember, let your light so shine before men. So they ought to see it. Yeah, they ought to see it, but they're supposed to see it. That's even stronger. Because he said, let your light so shine before men that they may, that they, people, may see your good works. It's designed for the dark to see the light. It's designed that way. Father, help us to get rid of ourselves. Put us on the 98th burner. Way, way back. In Jesus' name. People lose their joy when they become self-centered. They lose it. They give it away. Why? Well, because their heart, mind, and focus begin to go elsewhere. It's no longer on the things of God. You've transferred the focus of your heart, your mind, and your soul from the things of God, which is where our hope is based on and in, to the things of this world. At that point, it's no longer joy. When you, Lord help us to get this, when you lose focus, when you transfer your focus, you got that? From the things of God, the truths of God's word, the promises of God, the eternal word of God, when you transfer your focus and your preoccupation from the things of God, the word of God, to the things of this world, any aspect of it, at that point, you've just given away your joy. Because it can't be joy any longer. Does that make sense, somebody? Yes. You no longer have joy. And what the devil has done, he slicked you into looking for and going after happiness, which is the most futile, empty, worthless pursuit in the history of human beings, is the pursuit of happiness. He's a slicker, because you know what we tend to do? Like, I done did right all these months. Now it's time for me to get mine. It's time for me to do me. Well, you already got the wrong attitude, because what you're saying is, I'm doing this because I'm trying to just get mine, instead of saying for the glory of God. It's not about I'm going to do right for a while and then I'm going to get paid, sort of say. And when it doesn't come, then you become self-centered. That's where the self-centered comes. Because like, well, I deserve better than this. Look, I done treated folk right for 2 months. I deserve better than this. What's going on? Hey, what's going on here? Humility generates joy. I love how the commentator said, humility, devotion to Christ, and trust in God protect your joy. I love that word. It protects your joy. Humility, devotion to Christ, trust in God protect your joy. It protects it. Protect means it guards it, it shields it, it shelters it, it safeguards it. allow you to keep your joy. All of the synonyms for protect, defend, guard, keep, shield, shelter, safeguard your joy. I want my joy kept. I want it safeguarded, if you will. I want it defended. Well, then be humble. Trust God. Be devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ at all costs, and especially your comfort and your security and even your very life. John Calvin used to end his prayer before starting service, before starting his sermon, would be something just to beg the Lord that you be glorified in our living and if need be in our dying. You be glorified in our living, and if so, in our dying. Because the bottom line is, you be glorified.
Yes.
It's not about me.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And lastly, by way of a review, joy is the Lord Jesus Christ's legacy to every believer. Joy is our Lord Christ Jesus' legacy to every believer. I really hadn't heard that till this series, and I'm thinking that's enough for me to protect and defend and guard that joy, because he left it as a legacy to me. It's a gift from God. Amen. And as you, here we go again, defining joy again is a deep down sense of well-being that abides in the heart of the person who knows all is well between himself and the Lord. Sister Lynn and I were talking about that yesterday. Just talking about, wow, we can see how all is well. When you understand that all is well between you and the Lord, what joy that brings. We're not talking about perfect. We're not talking about, you know, because he would have never got with us if it was based on anything we did. He said, not on works. All is well because he made it well. He saved us, clothed us in his righteousness, and then said, you know, I'll see you as I see Jesus. That's really crazy. Symbolically speaking, anthropomorphically speaking, he puts on Jesus' glasses. So we all look like Jesus. Which is a miracle in itself, because we just as messed up. We're just as selfish and self-centered as we just want to be. Thinking we deserve everything when we deserve nothing but death, hell, and death, hell, and the grave is what we deserve. And he still sees us through Jesus' colored glasses. He clothed us in his righteousness, and he clothed himself in our sin. That doesn't make sense. Let's step up our devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ in living, and if need be, in dying. Father God, you be glorified in our life, and if need be, in our death. In Jesus' name. Glory be to God. So let's finally, we've been reviewing the review for three straight weeks, and it's been great. I hope I've enjoyed it in a mighty way, because I know we need to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. And so now, the time goes so fast. Wow. So let's go to We talked about leaping for joy, right? And we said that in order to develop that kind of joy, that level of joy, we need to train and develop. Remember that? Train and develop our minds to focus on things above and not on things on the earth. Thank you. You got to train and develop. And you know why I don't mind going over and over and over? Because this is a, it's, this is not a, yes, it is. It really is. Thank you for saying that. This is not easy. It's not something you go, oh, I got that. You barely, we barely got it in the tip of here, let alone down in here. It's going to take months and months and months and years of meditating on this to reach this. But I tell you what, when you do, you're golden. You're going to be a great Christian in a sense, because there's nothing, if you understand that the Lord being glorified is all that matters, and that's all why you're living for real, then guess what? You're gonna experience a liberation like you never have experienced in the history of your walk with the Lord. Amen. That's why I don't mind going over and over it. And I think we're mature enough here that you don't mind it either. And I don't believe not a one in here saying, man, we just went over this the last 3 weeks. It's like, you're still taking notes as if you're hearing it for the first time. Because this is giving birth to various angles of the same thing. You can hear the same exact words of the same exact thing and hear it from a different angle. Holy Spirit, thank you. Yes. He's our teacher. It's not just me deciding, well, we need to go. No, please don't me be deciding. That's a bad English, but you know what I'm saying. Lord, teach us. Teach us. I told you, I come in here just like you. I just take my seat up here rather than back there, because somebody got to teach him. He used a donkey to speak. He used a sinner to speak. So we need, pastors need to tamp ourselves down. Anyway, so we need to train and develop our minds to focus on things above. Look at Colossians 3, 1 and 2. We won't go there already. We talk about being preoccupied with the Lord Jesus Christ, who reigns there, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, being preoccupied with his purpose, his plans, his power, his provision, his sovereignty, his will, his purpose, his glory. Preoccupied means to absorb or engross to the exclusion of other things. We are far from that. I'm saying you. We are to the exclusion of other things. You have the cutest, pouty look on your face. April said, we are so far from that. Yeah. And he blesses us anyway. We're nowhere near this. But you know why we stay so far? Because churches won't preach this. Because it's not a happy subject in a sense. It is for me, because it's freeing. It is joy producing. But because you're so afraid of numbers and having behinds in a seat, excuse me, just a person there filling a seat so that you look good because you got numbers, but you don't have real growth. You don't have true growth. Growth is not about numerics. It's not about quantity. It's about quality of the individual who's sitting in that seat. Are they growing as an individual? Are they getting closer to the Lord Jesus? Are they beginning to understand that I'm not here for me? Because that's real growth. Those are real steps to being preoccupied, to be engrossed and absorbed to the exclusion of other things, with the things of heaven in this case. To concern oneself, to be consumed with, to immerse oneself in. And what is that? The things of heaven. We must keep seeking and setting our mind on things above. And so we are to focus on the things above in order to have joy in the midst, smack dab in the middle, while it's going on right now, while you're sitting in the middle of the eye of the storm, it is possible to have joy in the middle of it. How? By looking at the things above and not on the things of the earth. We need to get our minds, our heart, and our focus off of the things of the earth. Lord, help us to do that and show us how to do that. And I thought this was kind of different, but may the Lord led me to go, there's things on the earth include not getting hung up on what mankind says or thinks about you, good or bad. Now that is a thing on the earth, isn't it? I never really thought about that one in a sense. You know, we think of things of the earth about material possessed things that are material, not the immaterial. But we do get hung up on what people say about us. We get hung up on what people think about us, what people perceive about us. And notice I said good or bad. We get hung up, maybe head get kind of big when it's good, and we get really bent out of shape when it's bad. But that's all things on the earth. Forget all of that. Because after all, you only are who God says you are anyway. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Wow. They don't want to hear these words, but as we get ready to close, Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Did you need a Bible? You good? Okay. Well, she's going to share with you. Okay. That's cool. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Again, we're talking about things on the earth, including not getting hung up on what mankind, what human beings say, think, or perceive about you, whether it's good or bad. Not getting hung up at all on it. Let it all roll off. Verse 16, whenever you fast, do not put, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, do not put on, well, actually to his disciples, gloomy face as the hypocrites do. For they neglect their appearance so that they will be, look at this, noticed by men. You see, it's about what they say about me. When they are fasting, truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. In full mean, and nothing added beyond that. They got it all. God, and you got it, and get nothing. He's not giving you anything beyond that. You got it. When they say, oh, you look like you fasted, there's your reward. In full. Amen. Because that's what you wanted, to be noticed. Verse 17. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret, he will reward you. See, what people think about you, what people say about you, how people perceive you is not to be your focus. And you know, I know, we know, we've been caught up on that way too long. Way too long. We give people too much power over an opinion, a perception. We gotta be like, I don't care what you think about me, I just want to be indignant. That's your problem, how you see me. That's your problem, not mine. Excuse me for a minute, but that's what black people need to understand toward white people who have certain whatevers. That's your problem. I'm not going to let that bother me. And vice versa. Don't let what people think and say and how they view you be a focus. Our hearts and minds are never to be tied to the acclaim, the perception, and the opinion, good or bad, of other people. Our hearts, our minds, our focus are never to be tied to the acclaim, the perception, and the opinion, good or bad, of other people. It's not our focus. just an opinion. It's just a perception. It don't know your heart. It don't know your motive. Good or bad. Sometimes we get good feedback and you know it ain't right because you know your heart wasn't right. You did something good externally, but internally, it's not right. And you're there soaking it all up. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, that was my idea. Sure was. But inside, like, you know, I'm not sure I was trying to do nothing like that. Our hearts, our minds, and our focus. Who we are. How we perceive ourselves are never to be tied to the acclaim, the perception, and the opinion, good or bad, of other people. Because if all of the above is good, if the opinions are good, the perceptions are good, the acclaim is good, even then Jesus says in Luke 6:20, at the turn there, he says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. So stop it there. Even that's not good. Luke 6:26. He said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. So even if it's all good acclaim, be careful. Why? Because that's not it. That's things of the earth. To be heavenly minded is to be more concerned with what your heavenly Father thinks about you, who knows your heart, knows your motive, knows your internal. Does that make sense? That's where our focus ought to be. That's where everything ought to be tied to, because who he says I am, who he says you are, who he says we are, that's who we really are. Not what a person perceives or thinks about us.
That's right.
I thought that was kind of a slick way the Lord went through it, because I've never thought of it like that. That's being tied to the things of this earth. Mm-hmm. It's not a heavenly thought, what people think about you, people perceive about you. I almost want to tell you to be snotty and be uppity. In a sense, I'm not saying that, but I'm talking about to just extricate yourself from self-approval, not self-approval, from approval. I remember we talked about this many years ago, addicted to approval at Word of Life. Many years ago, maybe about 15 years ago. Addicted to approval. We gotta have somebody say something good about us. That's focusing on things on the earth. Man, forget all that. Only what God says counts. As we close, in a nutshell, we're not to live for the applause of men. Instead, we ought to live for the well done from the Lord. Amen. We're not to live for the applause of men, but the well done from the Lord. We'll stop there. So, Lord willing, we'll pick back up with Matthew 6 and verse 19. We'll pick back up right there in Jesus' name, if it's the Lord's will. Father God, thank you for harsh but wonderful truths. And really, Father God, as we have ears to hear and a heart to believe and a mind to receive, they're really liberating truths. They're really truths that will bring great joy, and they will be the joy and the rejoicing of our heart. We just put our flesh aside. Right. These are liberating truths, mind-freeing truths, mind-regulating truths.
That's cool. Thank you.
It is, your word is a lamp unto our feet, showing us the way to go, a light unto our pathway, guiding us. When we hear your word and receive it with the intent to do it, then we're storing and treasuring and depositing your words in our heart in abundance, richly, that we may not sin against you. And we are then positioning ourselves to keep our way pure when we keep it and guard it according to your eternal, everlasting, forever settled in heaven word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.